This morning, we are thrilled, we are excited to share with you our special guest speaker, Michael Finn. A little bit about Michael. He's a Texas boy. He was raised in Marble Falls, and after graduating from SMU with his BA in advertising, he pursued his ambitions to go to LA and work in film and television. He likes to say that the best gig he ever scored was meeting and marrying his beautiful wife, Leah. They moved back to Texas to raise their two boys and now live in Dripping Springs. Michael was introduced to Science of Mind in California and 3 years ago found Unity of Wimberley and discovered it was a pretty good fit for his family. He has been serving as one of our prayer chaplains now for a year and a half, and we are just absolutely honored and thrilled to have him. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you so much for those words, Kit. It is my absolute honor to be here. And thank you, Cherie, for those wonderful prayers and words. I would like to continue on in John. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Whew. Wow. Or as my 2-year-old son, Indiana, likes to say, wow. It's a lot today. But I am extremely blessed to be here with you guys. And hopefully I will share and impart some knowledge of growth and love onto you. Because today I will share my journey about spirituality and growth. The talk is love, loss, and redemption, and finding your way home. I remember when I was first asked to speak today, and at first the feelings of excitement, joy, and pride filled me. Very quickly, almost extremely quickly, those pure emotions were filled with fear. Fear that I wouldn't know what to say. Fear that I wouldn't be good enough. Fear that I'm not qualified. I mean, the list goes on and on. When the mind starts talking, it just won't shut up. And I mean, let's be honest. I'm still a little nervous right now. I mean, we are so lucky to be fed spiritually week in and week out by Reverend Jill. I mean, those are some bright, fabulous, colorful shoes to fill. She loves her shoes, doesn't she? So I sat there for a minute. I was on the phone with Leah, and I told her I'd get back with her. And what that really meant was I was going to go home and think of all the ways I could talk myself out of doing this. And I sat with that fear for a moment longer, and I realized that it scared me more to say no than the perspiration that might be on my brow today. Who was I? Who am I to say no to the universe that was providing me this amazing opportunity for growth, spiritually, personally, mentally, you name it? I knew that this talk in front of you to share this journey would just open me up and hopefully open you up too. So I accepted, and here I am. I came to this church about 3 years ago. My wife made me come. And God found me my wife. So this whole journey has been a divine one, a serendipitous one. I met Leah, my wife, at the LAX airport about 12 years ago, coming back from Thanksgiving holiday. I was with my family in Central Texas, and she was doing the same. And after our flight landed, this beautiful woman came up to me. Well, she was kind of a girl then. That was a long time ago. But this beautiful woman came up to me, gave me her card, and I was like, wow. This beautiful woman's in front of me. We're going to go have fun, maybe have a 2 or 3 week, month-long dalliance. But lo and behold, we've been together for 12 years now, and we have two beautiful children together, two beautiful little boys. So she brought me here. But the truth is, I didn't want to be here at all. I had no desire to be part of church whatsoever. A lot of that had to do with all the baggage I had. I was filled with grief. I couldn't even get here first couple weeks without crying or fearing at the doorway. Luckily, early on, I met Molly Steele, and her grief group set me on my way of this wonderful journey of growth. The resentment, well, that grief that I had, stemmed from the loss of my sister, and my mother, and my father pretty early on in life. The resentment I had built up, whether I wanted to admit it or not, had to do with the fact that I was a guilt-riddled Catholic, or a recovering Catholic, if you will. Growing up, my father was adamant that we go to Catholic church all the time. And I can't blame him. That's how he was raised. He was a wonderful man who I loved very much and admired, and he was devout, diligent, and loving in his own way. But he was born and raised in the farmlands of Nebraska, pretty much right after the Great Depression had taken its toll on most of America. He was taught in school by Catholic nuns that would whip or chide you very extremely if you acted up and got out of line. So to say if he was indoctrinated with the fire and brimstone vent pretty good is an understatement. So a lot of that was passed on to me growing up, unwittingly, unknowingly. My father was extremely gifted in finding Catholic churches wherever we were. We could be on the furthest corners of the world, and he'd find one. One time that sticks out to me in particular was a Saturday. And for those of you who don't know, Catholic Mass is held Saturday afternoon for those that don't want to get up in the morning on Sunday. And my father fell into the former category. So here we were in San Juan, Puerto Rico, on a beautiful cobblestone street, walking around, enjoying our excursion, and he looked at his watch and was like, oh God, we got to find a Catholic Mass, it's 4 o'clock. There wasn't a service on the boat. So we stopped our excursion, stopped everything we're doing, and beat the streets, and somehow he found a church. Another time that sticks out to me was another Saturday. I was a little bit older this time, and my best friend was having his birthday party. He was having a camp out, and it so fell on a Saturday afternoon evening. And it was the event of the season. All my best friends were going to be there. I couldn't miss it. I begged and pleaded with him. Dad, please let me go. I'll do anything. Please, 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 please. I was on him. Finally, he acquiesced and let me go. So I went to the party, had a wonderful time. There, he was there the next morning on Sunday, picked me up, dropped me off in town at noon at the Spanish-speaking Mass, where I sat there for probably an hour, maybe an hour and a half. I think it was one of those longer services. And I didn't understand a word. Not one word of what they were saying. No message, nothing. It just went by me. It was in that moment that I realized that it wasn't really about the spirituality for him. It wasn't necessarily about the joy, the message. It was about punching a card. And that set me up for a lot of psychological issues I dealt with. You had to go to the special place to access God. You had to go kneel down before most likely a man and confess your sins to avoid some kind of punishment. I took it and learned that God was out there, some mythical white-bearded man on a cloud that ruled with an oppressive, under-your-thumb kind of doctrine. I started to start fearing authority because I gave all my power away because I didn't think I had any inside. I realized then that my dad's dutifulness, going to church, wasn't necessarily rooted in the goodness, but the fear. Fear that if he did something wrong, he would be punished. He'd be smote down by his creator or his idea of God. And that fear reached an all-time crescendo when his cancer came back after my mom passed away. I had given up most of what I had done and was doing in Los Angeles and came home to be with him and help take care of him with hospice care. It's clear he was dying, his jaw cancer had taken over most of his face, his lower mouth, and I'll never forget had the local priest over one afternoon, and he asked him in a severely mumbled way if he was committing a sin by canceling his chemo treatments, because it was clear they were not working. He was sitting there suffering, being eaten away by this disease. The father assured him he wasn't. But the question he was asking was, am I committing suicide? Am I committing a sin? Am I breaking a commandment by prolonging this futility of sticking around? And he passed soon thereafter. It was so hard for me to witness this great man, this devout man, this giving man, this man I loved extremely. Because when he got to that point to cross over, I don't want to speak for him, but it seemed that he was deathly afraid of what was on the other side. So for me, being raised, 30 plus years in the Catholic Church, doing all these things didn't seem to mean anything to him. He was still extremely scared. He was fearful. And when he passed away, I started to fear every single thing. I hadn't built up a strong spiritual foundation inside myself. I did not know that God was in me. I didn't trust myself. So when he passed, all the goodness that was surrounding me, I got married soon thereafter. My wife gave us our first son, Ford, about a year after that. And I was closed in. All my light, everything inside of me was just shut down and constricted because I feared so much. I feared what might happen. I was not present. I was not in the moment. I tried everything. I went to therapists. I went to doctors. Didn't go to church. Looked at all the YouTube videos ad nauseum. I was listening to every single podcast. How do I get over anxiety? How do I get over PTSD? All these things. And my life was just shrinking. And now, looking back, I realize the one absolute place I did not look was inside myself. Again, God was out there. Spirit was out there. He wasn't in here. So there I was. I was like the ripples in a pond after a stone was thrown in it. Everything bothered me. Everything got to me. But now we have to realize, and I realize, I am and we are the pond. We can access that stillness. We can access that godliness because it's inherently in us. It's our birthright. It's our gift. My father always used to say, "For what is a man to gain the entire world and suffer the loss of his soul?" Obviously, you read that on face value from the Catholic Church, it means don't commit sins. If you want to attain something, do it in a good way. Don't cross your brother. Don't cross your sister. Do it in a good way. Or if you don't, if you get all these things here materially in the world, you'll go to hell. But I really, truly believe that to suffer the loss of your soul means suffer the loss of yourself. Suffer the loss of spirit inside of you. Because it is tough road to hoe when you're always looking elsewhere for affirmation, for power, for strength. It's got to come from inside. So it took me many years on this journey, and it's still day to day, but I realized that it's okay to sit there and look at that darkness face to face because it can be around us sometimes. It can be scary. In the Greek philosophy, they call this katabasis, which basically means going under, going down to that place and sitting there in the ashes. Because not all death is final. Sometimes death is a rebirth. You can come out just like the butterfly out of the cocoon of being a caterpillar. Through this whole journey, I've worked on forgiveness for my father. Forgiveness for myself, really. I was a 33-year-old man who was a boy, spiritually, mentally. But now I realize there's nothing to forgive because my journey is not his journey. And our journeys are unique to each and every single one of us. The journey has been scary. And I realized that he did the best he can. He was a product of his environment. And we all think we're products of our environment until we realize that we're all products of God, every single one of us. This fear that gripped me, this wound that didn't seem to want to heal, the more I spent time with it, the more I realized it was teaching me. And we're reminded of this by a beautiful quote by Rumi, who says, "The wound is where the light enters." And it's only in a mature faith that you're able to sit down with this and look at it and realize that darkness is not the absence of light. In fact, it's quite the contrary. You know, we are just spiritual beings on this physical plane. There is no good or bad. They're just experiences. And once you build up that inner faith, that inner strength, that connection, you can access it anytime. I mean, Jesus said in the Bible, "The Father and I are one." That means He is I, the grand universe, the love, it's all of us. In the Catholic Church, they talk a lot about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Trinity. I really believe that we are those things. We are the Father, or the Mother Feminine, that is responsible for guiding the Son, that wounded little child that lives in all of us. And the Holy Spirit, the universal creator, the God, the love, gives us the strength and the energy to make this possible. So in effect, we are the Holy Trinity. The Father and I are one. So yes, we are spiritual beings on this physical plane. But we are physical beings, human beings, nonetheless. And it's a day-by-day process sometimes. It's not always easy. Life can throw you curveballs. And when that happens, when that fear starts to creep up, that uncertainty, that unease, I love to go back to this quote by Jack Kerouac, the famous beat poet. And I'd love to share that with you today. "I have lots of things to teach you now, in case we ever meet, concerning the message that was transmitted to me under a pine tree in North Carolina on a cold winter moonlit night. It said that nothing ever happened, so don't worry. It's all like a dream. Everything is ecstasy inside. We just don't know it because of our thinking minds. But in our true blissful essence of mind, it's known that everything is all right, forever and forever and forever. Listen to the silence in the illusion of the world, and you will remember the lesson that you forgot, which was taught in an immense Milky Way soft cloud, innumerable worlds long ago, and not even at all. It is one vast awakened thing. I call it the golden eternity. It's perfect. We were never really born. We will never really die. It has nothing to do with the imaginary idea of a personal self, other selves, many selves everywhere. Self is only an idea, a mortal idea. That which passes into everything is one thing. It's a dream already ended. They never show any. There's nothing to be afraid of and nothing to be glad about. I know this from staring at mountains, months on end. They never show any expression. They're like empty space. Do you think the emptiness of space will ever crumble? Mountains will crumble. But the emptiness of space, which is one universal essence of mind, the vast awakenerhood, empty and awake, will never crumble away because it was never born. The world you see is just a movie in your mind. Rocks don't see it. Bless and sit down. Forgive and forget, and practice kindness to everyone you meet, and you will realize that you're already in heaven. That's the story. That's the message. Nobody understands it. Nobody listens. They're all too busy running around like chickens with their heads cut off. I will try to teach it, but it'll be in vain. It's why I'll end up in a shack praying and being cool and singing by my wood stove making pancakes. So essentially that's me. in a shack, well, in a beautiful, wonderful building filled with love with all of you here in Wimberley, Texas. But that was me, running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Until I realized my mind is just an appliance. It's not me. I am more than that. I can control it. It does not control me. So we can stay stuck in our rigidity, keep telling us our past sad stories, put them on loop, be worried about everything in the past, worried about everything in the future. Or we can interject a little faith, a little love, and ultimately acceptance. And that is when we glide. That is when we find our holy ease, and we find our home, our spiritual home. This is my home. Thank you. Let's take a moment, take this message, go inward into meditation. I want you all to get as comfortable as you possibly can. Take a deep breath, a low breath, a Buddha breath. Fill up your belly. Imagine you've got wings on your back and expand those wings. Slowly exhale and let them contract. Inhale and contract. You are blessed. You're beautiful. You're like an angel. We're all blessed by this divine connection. It is our birthright. Sometimes it's so easy to forget, especially in this day and age. There are so many distractions, so many things that catch our attention, take us out of ourselves. It's hard to find the space to sit down, be calm, and realize that God is nearer than your hands and feet and closer than your very breath. So when the times here do get tough, when the stress creeps in, and you realize you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, I want you to take time and realize that you are a human being, not a human doing. There is no one to impress. No one is judging you. You just exist here in this perfect space that is yours. Now, forever, and always. We thank God for this divine gift, this opportunity, and this calm power that resides in us at all times, from minute to minute. We know our greatness to be true, and we're thankful for it. And so it is.